Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, good morning. Welcome once again to another episode of Swerve Truth Business Bible Talk. My name is Mashaba. Let me see here. My name is Mashaba. I'd like to welcome you out to the show. This morning, we are broadcasting from Albuquerque, New Mexico, as the state fair is going on. Like going on to the show, you know, it's been a rough couple of, this past month has been rough. It's been a lot of ups and downs, a lot of twists and turns, trying to affect everybody's faith, to be honest about it. So, as again, it seems like with this show here, we're always regrouping, we're always resetting, trying to get things reestablished again. We just keep getting attacked, keep getting hammered, keep getting attacked. The best way I can say it. Somebody give me James chapter 1 and verse 1. Let me start there real quick. And today is going to be a short show. We're only going to broadcast for an hour today. All right, we're only going to broadcast for an hour.
James chapter 1 and verse 1. James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting.
Go ahead.
My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work.
All right, so read the last part again, please.
James chapter 1 and verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect.
But one before that.
James chapter 1 and verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience.
That the trying of our faith does what?
Worketh patience.
That the trying of our faith worketh patience. And if we don't think that we're in a fight for our faith, we're tripping. If we really think that this is not a fight for your faith, do you believe in the scriptures? Do you believe in this Bible? Do you believe in the struggle that we're going through? Then you really don't understand the Bible at all. You really don't get it. That give me real quick, Acts 14:21. That this is working your patience. Matter of fact, hold up. Finish what you're reading. Let him get that.
Okay. Verse 4.
That the trying of your faith is almost like that.
God. James chapter 1 and verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience.
That the trying of your faith worketh patience. All right. We know from was it Luke 12:57? 51, it says in 21:19, Luke 21:19, Christ told us that in your patience possess your souls. All right, that the way you can possess, make sure that you're going to be saved. Not only is it having faith, but that your faith is shown through the patience that you have to go through. And we know the word patience means to endure injury or
suffering without grief or
without resentment. Or anger.
Yeah.
So that there's got to be some grief. You can't be patient. You can't show God your patience unless there's some grief or suffering or some injury. You have to go through grief, suffering, or injury. And then you got to go through it without anger.
Without resentment.
Then you got to go through it without resentment.
I can't hold a grudge about what's happened.
It's not if you want to please God. Right? Not if you want to please God. So it says, James?
Verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work.
But it says, we have to let patience have her perfect work. Read on.
That you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
All right, so that the Most High can come before you. All right, but if there's no suffering, no grief, or no injury, you're not showing any patience. All right, it's impossible. Read where you at, Imad.
Acts chapter 14, verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, to Iconium, to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God.
And it's telling you I'm sorry, read one more time.
Yes, Acts chapter 14, verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, to Iconium, and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God.
And again, it's letting us know that you're a disciple. I mean, you're a student of Christ. You're following Christ. You're for Christ. It's letting you know that the disciples, before we actually enter into the kingdom, are going to have to go through what?
Tribulation.
Not just tribulation. Say what?
This is tribulation, through much tribulation.
Through much tribulation, all right? That's the only way we get into the kingdom, all right? There's no way to get into the kingdom without going through tribulation patiently, without going through injury, without going through suffering, without going through insults, without going through offenses. Then we go through this and not be angry about it, to be able to keep going. That there's no way you're going to enter to the kingdom of heaven and you aren't showing some level of patience. You have to go through tribulation. Let's get Philippians 1:29.
Philippians chapter 1. And verse 29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake.
All right, one more time. And if anybody can help with painting this picture real quick.
Yeah. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. So what it's saying right here is that it says, we're given the duty not just to believe in Christ. That's only part of it. But when it comes to serving Christ or to coming back and doing the things he's commanded you, it's not just about believing in him. Just that's part of it. But also, with that belief, I'm going to have to what? I'm going to have to suffer things for Christ's sake. It's like the scripture we went over earlier, is that, I think somebody knocked on the door, that if we're going to be true followers of Christ, if we're going to be true disciples, what are we going to have to, we're going to have to do what? The only way we're going to be able to walk those steps that Christ walked was through much tribulation. You know what I'm saying? Through much tribulation is the only way we're going to be able to enter into the kingdom, to be on that right hand with Christ and let me slow down. We have to walk the path, and the only way that we could be in the domain of the reign with the Most High is we have to follow the example that Christ set for us and be on that right hand like he was. So we're going to have to go through tribulation to enter into the kingdom.
Okay. And that's what a lot of people don't understand.
They expect rainbows and gumdrops.
And doves and pigeons, I guess, and Skittles.
They expect candy rain.
My love, I guess.
It ain't supposed to be like this.
No, yes, it is.
You obviously have not read any of the scriptures.
Right, you understand what this is supposed to get you prepared for.
God.
Right, what you're supposed to be going through. That this is about, we're going to have to go through these things. Right, Romans 8:17.
Romans chapter 8, verse 17. And if children, then heirs.
No, it's not 16. 16 words.
Verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
And it says the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Go ahead. And meaning the truth, the Bible, the scriptures. Bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. As we put the prophecies of the Bible together, and we're seeing that what was going to happen to the children of Israel. And we match that with the archaeology and the anthropology of what has been our experience in the Americas, among the so-called Negroes, West Indians, Puerto Ricans, Haitian, Dominicans, Cubans, North American Indians, Central Indians, Argentinians, Chileans, Brazilians, Colombians, Panamanians, and Mexicans. We're seeing that it's obvious that we are the children of God, that we are the Israelites. All right, so read that verse one more time, please.
Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
We truly are the children of God. All right? That We are the Israelites. Reading on.
And if children, then heirs.
And it was being the children of God, that means we're the heirs of God. That we're going to inherit what God has to give. Read.
Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ.
And then we are what?
And joint heirs with Christ.
I mean, if we, as Christ is sitting on the right hand of God, the right hand of the Most High, it says that we are joint heirs with him. Read.
If so be that we suffer with him.
If so be that we suffer with him. If so be that we suffer with him. We'll be a joint heir with Christ if we go through the things he went through. We're a joint heir with Christ, and we'll inherit the kingdom of God, the kingdom of glory, and all the privileges that come with that if we suffer with him. So was Christ betrayed?
Yes.
Was he betrayed by somebody close to him?
Yes.
If we go back and look at it, give me that in Hebrews if you can find that. It says, we're tempted in all points like as yet we are. Hebrews chapter 2 or chapter 4, I believe it is.
They talked about where he was made Lord and an angel, suffering death.
Somewhere in that, yeah.
Well, actually, I think it's probably first
Hebrews 4:15. This is right where which you're quoting. Hebrews 4:15.
For he became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. No, I know where it is. It's down lower. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 16. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to the Most High, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted.
That's a good one, but that's not quite the word I was looking for.
Quoted 4:15.
Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15.
That's it.
But we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin.
Okay, put the two of them together. The last one you just read said, didn't it say it behooved him?
Yes, so that was actually Hebrews chapter 2.
17.
Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to the Most High, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people.
So they say it behooved him to be made like unto his brothers. Now that he might be able to secure us, that he might be able to cover us, that he might be able to be that mediator between us and the Most High. About the things that we're going to go through to show our love to the Most High. All right? So he went through it to give us an example to follow his steps. He went through it to show us how to get it done. And then he was tempted in all points like as yet we are, but was without sin. So, again, if we go back and look at the life of Christ, it tells you he was the firstborn among many brothers. Again, for him being betrayed. And if we go back and look at the life of Christ, we study the life of Christ. His nuclear family, when I say nuclear family, talk about his mother, brother, his mother, his brothers, his sisters, that nuclear family. Did they reject him? We went through the scriptures, yes they did. Right? Yes they did. They rejected him. That's when he told us that what? A prophet is not without honor except in his own house, country, or city. A house, city, or country. That he wasn't accepted as a prophet among his parents. Among his own brothers and sisters. They rejected him. All right? He came and told us what? In Matthew 10:34 or 35, that a man's foes are going to be they of his own household. All right? He already shared these things with us. He let us know these things, that this is going to be going down, that this is going to be happening. So we can see, as our lives as Israelites, we can see that when we come out of the world and just first start coming to the knowledge, that we go through what? We go through a period where our nuclear family rejects us.
They'll say, boy, I didn't raise you like that. Or they'll say things like it's good to read, but now I think you're reading too much into something. Or they'll hit you with the guys, you in a cult. I didn't raise you like that. I raised you to have your own mind with your own thoughts.
Right. That we go through that period. We go through that period of time where we're rejected by our nuclear family. We're rejected by our close family and friends. And if we learn, as the scripture tells us, like Christ said, but who's my family? But those that share the word of the Most High and do it. So then we attach ourselves to people in this work. We attach ourselves to other Israelites, that comes from Israelites. And as we get attached to them, in the same way Christ got attached, we come into what? Judas. Judas betrayed him. And we shared him with what? A kiss. So they were close. Right? Christ and Judas were definitely close. There was still betrayal. So if we're living, if we're going to follow the steps of Christ, are we going to go through a period where our nuclear family, our family from the world, has rejected us? So we're now, we're going to have ties, and we're going to have bonds, and we're going to have relationships with people that are in the truth or in the work, and the possibility of us being betrayed is going to be very high.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. All right? Yes, it is. That, it, and this is why Christ came. All right? Give me 1 Peter 2 and 21.
Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. For even hereunto ye were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps.
Read this again, and if y'all can help me, I'm trying to paint a little picture right here. If y'all can help me paint this picture.
1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps.
So what it's saying right here is that this is the same thing that you see Christ going through is what you're going to be taught to go through. And now I let you know in the scripture that it said that what? Christ also suffered for us. So now, if Christ was our example and he suffered for us, the betrayal, what are we going to also suffer?
Same thing.
We're going to have to suffer that betrayal that Christ suffered. But from that person that was close to him, from that person that betrayed him with the kiss.
And we look through it, there's another scripture, I think it's in Luke or John. Christ said, the times will come that you're all going to leave me. All right? But he said, but I'm never alone because I do always those things that please the Father. That again, we get so attached. We have such a Christian religious outlook still, even as Israelites. Of this utopia. But what we keep forgetting is that we were brought to America for our punishment. We're not brought to America to prosper. We're not brought to America to be comfortable. Scripture says, be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion. That this wasn't about us getting comfortable in Babylon. Wants to say he chastises the ones he loves. That this was not about us coming here. And matter of fact, somebody find that scripture. It's in Isaiah. It says, we refuse to be chastised. I think it's Isaiah.
It
It might be Jeremiah. No, it says, thou hast stricken them, and they refused. Jeremiah 5 and 3, so I got that. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 3.
Jeremiah. Chapter 5, and verse 3. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth?
And, his eyes are on the truth. And everybody likes to proclaim their own truth. But the Most High's eyes are on the truth. He's looking at what the real truth is. Now, he says he tries the hearts of men. Reading on.
It says, thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved.
And if we look at us as a nation, look at where we are as a nation. We've been stricken as a nation, but we refuse to grieve. I'm going to find my way out. I'm going to do for me. I'm going to hustle for me. I got me. I'm going to cover me. But the thought about the nation, the thought about what we're going through as a nation, that thought is completely left us. It's all about my come up. It's all about me. But for what the nation is going through, That doesn't cross our minds at all. We really got this thing where it's about my come up here in America. But again, as I go over and as I've been over many classes, if we look at the promised land and we study the promised land, that was a blessing from the Most High. To be in captivity like we are is a punishment. To be in the promised land where we took over giants' hot homes. You might get the picture. I hate to give this mental picture, but the picture when you see Bugs Bunny coming to with the beanstalk, and he's in a giant's house, and he took over the crops. If you remember that Looney Tunes. This is older for that older cast. You might have caught it. When he climbed the beanstalk, he got up there to the top. You saw the giant carrots. Crops.
Yeah.
You saw the giant watermelons, the giant everything. He walked into the house and it was huge.
He had to climb up the stairs.
Climbing up the stairs. The table, trying to get on top of the table. The plates, the golden goose, the everything. It was still built for giants. You go back and look at what the Most High gave us coming into the Promised Land. We took over these homes. We didn't have to build one. Our manhood wasn't determined on how labor. Manhood wasn't determined that because I could sweat and I can work. That wasn't what we didn't do that. And we had servants. We had then some of the cities that we conquered. We enslaved those same people. And they kept taking care of the crops for us. We weren't out there with no backhoe, or no saw, no pick. When the Most High blessed us as a nation, we had true blessings. Again, you go back and look at it, we were so self-contained within our own estates. There was no public swimming pool. There was no public school. There was no malls. There was no grocery store. We didn't have these things. We were totally self-contained within our own estates, to where we never would see each other, to where the Most High would have to give a commandment, y'all at least come together in your cities, at least come together once a week, at least come together on the Sabbath, because otherwise there would be no need. We didn't see each other. There'd be no need to. We were that self-contained. That was the blessing of the Most High, if we're going to talk about in a materialistic way. Again, and to have servants, to where, when we go back and read about Abraham, he had 300 trained servants raised in his house, that were born in his house. 300 trained, born in his house. If you give each one of those 300 men one father, one mother, you get 900 people that were born, that were in his house. That was just one that was trained as part of his military, a part of his security. Now to feed, if we just take that 900 right there, to feed them, they would need food. So you'd have to have some type of system set up to make sure everybody got fed. That would take crops that somebody was bringing in food daily, and it was getting prepared daily. Then you have clothing. So you have some type of tailor shop, some type of something going on that clothes could be mended, repaired, or created. You've got shelter. Where are all these people going to sleep at? How are they going to be accommodated? So there had to be some type of crew or whatever that was responsible for making sure that there was housing for everybody, and that then this housing was being maintained. And then you had to have obviously you have the work cattle, you have the work horses, you have the work camels. That you had to have servants to be able to take care of all that. So basically, you're talking about a small city that Abraham was dealing with city management, as opposed to what might be shown on TV and whatever, that we was just dealing with. It was just him in one tent with Sarah and one camel, and they was just out in the middle of the desert, just time flies, I guess. That when you really look into the scriptures, there was a lot we had going on when the Most High blessed us. And again, for the promised land, good Lord. So we got this mentality here in America that we coming up, we doing something, we tripping. But yeah, as an individual, you might be doing your things as an individual and following and copying the American lifestyle and following and copying the American blueprint. You make sure you're good. You make sure you're straight. And if that's not the white man's mentality, I don't know what is. But we come back and look how the Most High blessed the nation. We would know and understand. For as much as we want to look at, some brothers want to look at how the Gedites live here in America. If you go to the reservations, you know damn well this ain't no blessing. To be impoverished like our brothers and sisters on the reservations really are. I ain't talking about the casinos. I ain't talking about the custard babies who took shit over. I'm talking about come on here to Albuquerque. Come up to New Mexico and go to the reservations. And look at the mud huts, the no crops, how dry and dusty it is. And you're going to say that this is a blessing? You ain't read. I'll just say it like that. I don't want to insult nobody. You haven't read. This is not a blessing. This is not good. Go down to the border from Tijuana to Juarez to Brownsville. How many little kids are out there selling little chiclet gums? Trying to survive. And you'll say, this is a blessing? You tripping. But the scripture says what in Jeremiah?
It says, Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 3. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them.
We're stricken. Living like we're living now. Go ahead.
But they have not grieved.
I'm not gonna grieve, because you know what? I'm gonna find a way out. Read.
That has consumed them.
We're consumed. From how many times we read Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. If we hearken to the Most High, we'll be blessed above all nations. Be blessed to be above all people. But if we don't listen, verse 15, we will be beneath all people as a nation. We've been consumed. Go ahead.
It says, but they have refused to receive correction.
I'm not going
to
be correct. I'm not going to. I'm going to find a way out. I'm not to go from where we was at in the promised land. What the Most High, if it was promised land, if it was special, how special was it? So now, come on. If you can walk inside your door and see your neighbor, you cursed. Now that's all the land you got. You cursed. That is nowhere near what the Most High blessed the nation of Israel. Come on. How much land do we have? And this is the scripture that brothers like to pull alive. How much land do we have that the law says don't remove thy neighbor's the ancient landmark? Why would you need landmarks? We get pissed off now if somebody parks in front of our driveway.
They park in your spot.
They park in your spot. How much land do we have that you had to have landmarks that marks off your territory? Hell, today we live in, if you happen to get a house on an acre of land, okay, cool. You still got a fence put up. It's very easy to mark your property because there's a fence up. What did we have going on that the way you marked your land was with landmarks? How much did we have? And now I got a little something, and I was watching some videos on Michael Jackson. And they had a new documentary on him. They said the Neverland Ranch was on 2,500 acres. 2,500 acres. And they had a zoo. Even with that, it was still fenced in. There were still fences. What did we have going on as a nation that we had landmarks? That from this mountain to that mountain, over to this lake, back on over to
this river.
This river. This is my family. This is your family's land. And we think we're doing something today. We've been consumed. And it says what?
It says, they have made their faces harder than a rock.
And then it says, after it says consumed.
It says it consumed them. But they have refused to receive correction.
We refuse to receive correction. And it's crazy because you got people that live in a jail cell. That 6x9 becomes what?
Their world.
Home. That 6x9 becomes home. I'm not going to be corrected. I'm unjust. I'm going to just make the best of what I got to deal with. But where's the thought of, damn, if we're the Israelites, what did we have? Where did we come from? That now we're here. Instead of talking about starting from the bottom, now we're here, we started from the top, and now we're here. And then it says we make our faces what?
They have made their faces harder than a rock.
Then we make our faces harder than a rock. I refuse. You're not going to make me feel bad. I refuse to feel bad. I refuse to be put down. Right?
They have refused to return.
And then we refuse to return to the Most High. The Most High is ready to bring us back to paradise. He's truly ready to bring us back to paradise, but we refused. But we refuse. Give me Jeremiah 17:5 or 3.
Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 3. On my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil.
Read that again.
Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 3. On my mountain in the field.
What do we have?
A mountain.
We own mountains. The beautiful thing I love about Albuquerque, especially being on the west side, you can look and see the Sandias and the Manzanos of the bottom trail of the Rocky Mountain Range. But imagine when you owned a mountain. We think we're doing something because we got a four-bedroom house. And you're leasing the land that pay taxes on? What's the difference between paying taxes and paying tithes? At least with tithes, you own the land and you gave 10% to the Most High. Taxes? Shit. That's going to your enemies. Read on.
O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil.
And all are what?
I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil.
What treasures do we have? What treasures do we have? That we studied what was given when it came the time to build the temple. Did we study how much we gave from sapphires and rubies and precious gems, gold and silver, silk? How much did we have? How much did the Most High actually bless us with? We look at the daily offering. I'm not even calling it the daily sacrifice. We go back and study the daily offerings. And that was just we had so much excess. He was like, at least just give this back every day. What kind of treasures do we have? To run out today, what's treasure today? Stock and bonds? 401k?
Alexis,
Benz, Range Rover.
Right.
Please. I got the new Jordans. I might have a small bracelet of gold. I got the big face watch. That's the treasure, right? You ballin', ain't you? Again, go back and just meditate a little bit on what we had. There was no need for public school. There was no public school. That means there was no vaccinations. You didn't have someone else teaching your children some crazy shit. Their morals, their ideas. Be damned if your daughter walks into a bathroom and there's a dude standing up next to her, using the bathroom right next to her, talking about, I have the freedom to be in here. We didn't have none of that. We had true treasure. A piece of paper saying that you are somebody now? Because now I got a piece of paper from this accredited, whatever the heck that's supposed to mean, accredited institution. Then now I am somebody. Reading on.
And thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. And thou, even thyself.
Oh shit, brother Troy just hit me up with this. He said, don't forget about the death tax in certain states. You actually have to pay for the privilege of dying.
Okay. Yeah.
Curses I be when I come in, curses I be when I go down.
No doubt. He said you're going to serve your enemies in the want of everything. Oh. But this is America. Childish Gambino? Gambino? I'm sorry. What's his name?
Childish Gambino. You said it right.
Reading on.
Verse 4. And thou, even thyself, shalt discontinue from thine heritage.
And it says that we have discontinued from what?
From thine heritage.
We've discontinued from our heritage. We've discontinued from the way the Most High truly gave us as a nation of people. We've discontinued. Read.
That I gave thee, I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not.
And we are damned. if we're not serving our enemies in land that we don't, that in this land. We had the promised land. If we go even further back, we had the Garden of Eden. We went to the promised land. To America? You can't get everything in between. Germany, England, Europe, Asia. We've had it all. Now we're here in America living like this, and we think we're doing something. What kind of illusion are you under? We've discontinued from our heritage. Go ahead.
And I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. We have kindled a fire in mine anger.
So in being in a land where we got to serve our enemies, that is what from the Most High? What feeling is that from the Most High?
Anger.
Is that joy?
No.
That's my son. That's my daughter. I'm proud of you. To be here is a show of force of the Most High's anger. We're here because the Most High is angry with us as a nation. Finish it.
For he hath kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever.
And we hear. We hear. But let's give Hosea chapter 1, verse 10. You know, we've had some talks this past week. And I've been talking to my son Abijah. He's probably not listening right now. But, and this ain't concerning what Abijah was telling me, what I'm about to bring out right now. But as it's over the nation of our people right now, especially with the birth of the internet, how accessible is porn right now? And to what ages? Now, I bring that out for this, because now, with porn being as available as it is, how many people, men and women, are now exposed to now masturbation? When we was in our land, I walked steps. When we were in our land, in the heritage that Mosai gave us, there was no need for porn or masturbation. A young man was given a concubine, a female servant, at the age of 13 or 12 at his bar mitzvah. And like you might have seen in the movie Coming to America, he was able to go and sow his wild oats. And that concubine wouldn't be another Israelite daughter. It wouldn't be another Israelite woman. It'd be a nation. She was a servant. She was a slave. And he was able to go ahead and now learn and get out of his system all that type of lust, all that type of exploration, all that type of questions. And once he was able to go through that process, then he was able to now search or look for and see a woman's virtues as opposed to just her beauty. His self-esteem wasn't reckoned on. He could pull the baddest bait. He had a female servant, a concubine, as the scriptures say. That, as you read the definition of concubine, a woman kept for lewd purposes. He got his jollies off. I can't say no better. But in getting that out of his system, now he can appreciate, be able to search, and be able to see the virtues in the daughter of Zion. Now he can look for the good in a woman and determine that is a good woman. That is somebody I want to be with. Not because this young man was burning. Not because this young man was so horny that he was willing to take anything. Which leads to what? Dysfunctional families. Which led to dysfunctional families. Because this man only got with this woman for what? He needed sex. there was no other comparison. There was no other value system. There were no other morals to the whole thing. She looked good. He looked good. Let's hook up. At the club. But where is the club at in Israel? The dating sites. Was there an Israelite mingle?
IsraelMingle.com. Yeah, singles.
Yeah. We didn't do that and had to go through this. We didn't have to go through these things. So a young man would never experience or have to go through masturbation and get addicted to it. How's Eric Benet married to Halle Berry, who has a sex addiction, divorced Halle Berry? You would think her being as fine as she is, or was, with as much money as she had, that would be heaven. But what did Eric Benet not get worked out of his spirit?
The lust.
Then after the lust, now I got to deal with this woman. And Halle Berry's crazy. Halle Berry's a lunatic. And now, after the lust is done, now I got to figure out, I got to deal with this demon? Yeah. Maybe we're not so compatible. That's part of the heritage that we left in Israel. And then a young woman in getting married didn't get married to a man just because of his looks or his whatever. Her parents, her father picked her husband to make sure she was going to be happy. To make sure that the nigga wasn't going to ever abuse her. He would never go put his hands on her. She would never have to come running back home because this nigga's crazy, psycho, deranged. So now the kids that are born out of love are going to have a good environment, a good, healthy environment. This is what we threw away in going against the laws of the Most High and getting sent here to America for our punishment. So now how many kids in foster homes are getting molested? How many kids in regular homes are getting molested? Got that crazy uncle, that weird cousin. How many of our families now are living the life of precious? That your children, the children this woman has, is from her father. And we think we're living over here. And I know we're not supposed to bring that up because it's supposed to be about the joy of America. And the world is supposed to talk about how good things are. And it's the greatest nation on the planet. And let's not look at the ugly things, the truth of what's going on with us as a nation. Let's not face those things. Let's not deal with those things. But Hosea 1 and 10 says what?
Hosea chapter 1, verse 10. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people.
And that's here in the Americas. In a place that's been said to us that we are not the Most High's people, right?
There it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living power.
And now we're coming back. And now the Most High is bringing us back. Now he's giving us an opportunity to start to learn our heritage, to start to learn our culture, to start to learn our ways. All right? And for the little bit of time I have remaining, I did want to get into that a little bit. Let's go to Leviticus 23 and 1. If I can have somebody please look at the word convocation. Leviticus that in America we have, there's so-called holidays here in America. Well, they call them holidays, right? But in the Bible, they're called holy days, right? In the Bible, they're called holy days. And part of our heritage, just like America's got its holidays it celebrates for the great accomplishments that have happened in America. Oh, and by the way, even from my brother Tazapa, happy 9/11 day. Let's go ahead and throw that out there right now real quick. Happy 9/11, all right? But America's got its holidays that it commemorates for the victories and accomplishments that have been done in America, from Memorial Day, Labor Day, Thanksgiving, Valentine's Day. It's got its days that it celebrates and honors great accomplishments that have happened in the American history. Well, the Father gave the same thing to the Israelites. We had holy days that we gathered together and we did things in commemoration of great acts and great things the Most High did for us. All right, so somebody got me the definition of convocation.
Convocation.
All right, cool. So let's read Leviticus 23:1 and get ready for the definition. Where is that Leviticus 23:1?
Leviticus chapter 23:1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocation, a large formal assembly, especially one specifically convened.
One more time, please.
Convocation, a large formal assembly, especially one specifically conveyed.
All right, cool. So it's a large formal assembly. These are times when Israel was officially supposed to gather together. We were, is it Avengers Assemble?
Yeah.
From Avengers Assemble to, Voltron Assemble.
Power Rangers Unite.
Whatever, that's where the power was at.
Yeah.
All right, that you got massive power when we came together and assembled. Care Bears even. Damn. You had to go there. Damn. We had to come together. That these were the official times that the Most High wanted it to get. Reading on.
Even these are my feasts.
Yeah.
6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings.
And again, as we've gone over this and we studied this, why was there no work to be done? So you could gather together. Right, that's why it was put out. No work be done. It said you might be able to gather together. No excuses. Right, so the first convocation or assembly, and once again, the children of Israel was the Sabbath. It comes every 7 days, from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. Reading on.
Verse 4. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover.
Right. So then the first month, 14th day, is the Lord's Passover. All right. Read on.
And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Go ahead.
Unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. In the first day ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. Ye shall have an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. And the seventh day is an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein.
And again, one thing I do trip on when I'm aware of the time now, 10 o'clock. One thing I trip on with this right here, servile work. If we had servants and slaves, what servile work were we doing?
We weren't.
I mean, that means even our servants weren't working on these days. If you're a king, what they get the whole thing about king of your castle, your king of your
castle,
king of your home, basically. If you had servants, what servile work were you doing? You weren't. When Steve Jobs was alive, was he actually working on the iPhone?
No.
He had employees.
Ford Motor Company, Ford. This
Henry Ford.
But this nigga actually making.
Was he on the assembly line every day?
The assembly line, like, yeah, come on, we gotta get this going.
No.
When you're in charge, you're not doing the work. You have workers. But because we have such an American mentality, we really think this is about what says no servile work. See, I actually be doing nothing. Brother, sister, when we came into the promised land, when the Most High was truly blessing us as a nation, what servile work were you doing? You weren't. But just reading on, I kind of want to get to this. I know he's getting ready for work. Go ahead.
Verse 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of the harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted of you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it.
All right. And this is coming to the first fruits. Go ahead.
And ye shall offer that day when ye wave the sheaf and lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2 thin deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor, and the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of an hin. And ye shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings.
Right.
And ye shall count unto you for the morrow after the Sabbath, for the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord.
All right, so now if we look at the first we have coming to the year, we had the Sabbath, every 7 days, and that doesn't change. I'll go through that later. Then we come into the first month, the 14th day and the 15th day. What we have, and then the 16th day. You have Passover, unleavened bread, and then first fruits.
Mm-hmm.
Then you count 7 Sabbaths. That, which is plus a day, is 50 days. That is just under
3 months.
3 months. So if we look at it, we're coming from the first month. We had the National Assembly the first month.
It's just under 2 months.
Right. It's just under 2 months. So we had the National Assembly on the first month. Then we have a National Assembly on the third month. Besides the weekly Sabbath, we have the National Assembly on the third month. When you do the time, 50 days from the 16th, that brings you to the third month. It's almost just short of 2 months. Reading on.
We're in Leviticus chapter 23, and we're in verse 17. You shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of the 10th deal, that shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. And you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and 1 young bullock, and 2 rams. And they shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord.